to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
They also think we need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
Well, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage.
We
need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
Yeah, welcome to an exciting edition of Eco Talk. I am thrilled to have joining us in the first segment Senator John Kerry, out with a new book about our environment called This Moment on Earth. It's really a thrill to have him. He is on a book tour passing through San Francisco. I don't think he needs any more introduction, but if you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, he, of course, is the U.S. Senator from Massachusetts and was the 2004 Democratic Party presidential nominee, should have won. And he's not left public service by any means. He's a very active senator and a very active environmentalist. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You've written this book along with your wife, Teresa Heinz Kerry, who is the chairwoman of the Heinz Family Philanthropies. Tell us the genesis of this book. Why this moment in time to write this book?
Because of the urgency of the moment, because we're nearing a tipping point, not just on global climate change, but on a host of environmental issues, air quality, water quality, our lakes, rivers, streams, our fisheries. We really need to get these dots connected for people all across the country. And what's interesting is what we write about in the book is not just the problem. We don't want to do that. We write about the success stories and the amazing efforts of individuals around the country without regard to party label. You don't have to be a Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal. These are just people who want their surroundings and their lives to have the quality of life that they should have, and they're fighting for it. And we show how there are jobs to be created, there's money to be made, there's better health to be secured, there's greater national security for America. The upsides of this are gigantic, and we need people to see the upsides and not listen to the fearmongers.
And the tide is turning, finally. I mean, we've had this week's Supreme Court decision, very exciting. It feels like, you know, even Republicans are starting to erode some of their denial, some of the ones that were holdouts, other than maybe Inhofe.
Well, there's still some distance to travel with some of our colleagues who haven't had time to really wrap their hands around all of the facts. I'm convinced that when they do, they'll realize this is something they've got to embrace. The science is just overwhelming, and what we try to do, and there is one chapter that I wrote in the book on global climate change, and we try to really show the science to people, let the facts speak for themselves. There's no ideology here. There's no polemic. It's really a factual recitation of what the scientists are telling us. And what's really incredible is that the scientists I'm meeting with right now are expressing an even greater degree of alarm because the feedback that they're getting from the Earth itself, the things that are happening in terms of weather, the things that are happening with Earth, with ocean currents, with the fisheries, with the ice melting, all of the feedback is coming in at a faster rate and in a greater quantity than they predicted. So the alarm bells really need to go off with a lot of people.
And the research keeps pouring in. And, of course, we're expecting the second part of the IPCC report to be released momentarily. And that is even more dramatic than the first.
Yes, it is. The report will be out in shortly, any day, any moment now. And this report will reconfirm and state even more firmly the degree to which human activity is creating the greenhouse gas effect. What people need to understand is that the best scientists of our nation are telling us we have about a 10-year window within which to respond. And we don't even have the ability to let these next 2 years go by without responding. So we've got to take steps, and we're going to in the Congress. We're going to push as hard as we can to get energy policy incentives in place, to give people incentives to go out and buy hybrid vehicles, to do energy refits on their homes, to the things that we need to do to reduce our carbon imprint on the Earth.
How important was Al Gore's testimony recently in Congress?
I think it was important. I don't think it was as important as his film. I mean, I think his film has had a profound impact in changing the grassroots perceptions. But it was important in sort of highlighting the issue. creating a moment of Washington and national theater, if you will, for people to be able to focus on it. But the bottom line is we've got a lot of educating to do for some of our colleagues who just don't know the science. I mean, they just don't see it yet. And unfortunately, there are some professional deniers who are using the money of some people who are very reluctant to change and who like the status quo because they're making money. I mean, it comes down to the bottom line in many cases.
Well, the oil industry certainly has a status quo to protect, but it seems like the auto industry is beginning to change their tune, and they're being forced to, of course, because they're looking at the bottom line. General Motors Vice Chair Bob Lutz recently told Business Week that, quote, being known as the technology laggard is not conducive to selling automobiles. Well, that's an issue close to my heart and yours, too. As I said right before we started the recording, you inspired me back in 2002. It was March 12th, I believe, when you and John McCain introduced a bipartisan proposal to Congress, to the Senate, I believe it was, to increase CAFE standards, fuel efficiency standards. This was in the shadow of 9/11. And when that went down to defeat, when we could not build more fuel-efficient cars, when I had just gone from driving an SUV to a Prius, going from about 15 to 45 miles per gallon, I thought, shame on us. It's not business as usual. And I remember Barbara Mikulski stood up and said, soccer moms like their SUVs the way they were. And she was just one of many legislators that were really disappointing on that. You became the hero and the inspiration for our grassroots campaign, Don't Be Fueled. So the car companies didn't see coming what we moms saw and you saw. Why did it take them so long?
You know, that's one of the great puzzles of business as far as I'm concerned. You can go to the best business schools. You can sit down and see these guys who've, and it is mostly guys, who've
maybe that's the problem.
Set their life pattern to be the CEO of a company, and they just don't seem to understand real marketing. I picked up the newspaper today, and I saw this huge article advertising the big Hummers and the biggest muscle cars, et cetera. I don't think they still get it. The fact is that a couple of days ago, I was in Washington looking at a Prius that has a lithium battery add-on in it, and the combination of the battery and the basic hybrid of the Prius itself, this car gets 150 miles to the gallon. Now, tell me, what middle-class family in America wouldn't love to be able to know that they can get 150 miles to the gallon? You just don't have to go refill. You don't spend the hard-earned money on at the gas pump.
You're talking
and
about the plug-in
the
hybrids?
We could be doing that. It's a plug-in,
yeah,
correct.
Right.
It is a plug-in and you use electricity.
About three minutes.
The average American drives about 40 miles of commute a day. So you can do your entire commute based on the battery in this, and when you need the gasoline, it's there to kick in. So the point is that most Americans could, limit their gas bills. We could really significantly reduce the carbon that we're putting in the atmosphere. Every gallon of gasoline is 22 pounds of carbon dioxide goes up. So there are huge options here, and this could be in any kind of vehicle. You can still have a powerful vehicle. You can still have a vehicle that gives you the thrill. You can still take the kids to the soccer game. You can go to the market and fill up your car. I mean, all those things can happen. But you can do it with fuel efficiency. And I think Detroit has been killing itself
through
its
wheels.
Executives who haven't understood the ability to market to the public. And it's the same thing. It's been 40 years of this. I remember when I was a kid in college and the Volkswagen Bug first came out. And all these guys say, oh, it's just a niche. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And boom, Volkswagen, every kid was driving it.
Mm.
And they missed the opportunity to command that market.
I have to mention, speaking of muscle cars, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the man who brought us the Hummer, he's had quite an eco U-turn. Impressed by that?
Yeah, I think it's terrific that he's seen the light and is embracing what have been traditionally Democratic policies. We need Republicans to do that. We're glad they are. As I said, it doesn't have a party label. Unfortunately, it's been divided along those lines for the last 20 years. But hopefully now it'll become generic and everybody will do it. And we need his leadership and other people's.
I think it's interesting that you and Al Gore are really distinct in that you have gotten the environmental issues that face us. And, of course, that's before things were even as dramatic as they are now for decades, really. And many of us were frustrated when the media did not cover your whatever comments you made during the elections about the environment, feeling that if you had pushed it harder or if the media had picked it up, because I know Al Gore and I'm sure you agree that was the problem, is they just didn't see that as news. And maybe you had handlers who said, don't talk about the environment too much.
We did environment events in every single state that I went to. I did major events. In fact, I took a whole day one day I gave a major speech at the University of New Hampshire, talked about my environmental vision, and we made it an environmental day. I went and visited a lake with MTBE in it. And we did we tried very hard. I went to West Virginia and talked about clean coal technology. I went to Minnesota, did wind farms. We did hog farms and nitrate overload of our rivers in Iowa. I mean, every state we went to, we did environment events. But unfortunately, was overpowered by 9/11, Osama bin Laden, and the exploitation of fear by the administration.
We'll be back with Senator John Kerry right after these messages.